Good morning, Facebook and St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church and Straight Gate Ministries. I am Pastor Landis Fisher, and I thank God for another day's journey. Amen. We are blessed to be here today and so happy you have chosen to join us at this time. Amen. We're just so glad this morning because God woke us up and started us on our way. We want to ask all of you to pray for Mother Lemon. She's one of our, I always call her Matriarch of St. Timothy, and she's one of our elder mothers, and she had been having a situation with her health. So just ask God to bless her today, and she's 97, so we want to praise the Lord for giving her 97 years. Amen, and we hope she gets 97 more. Amen. So we want to pray for her as we pray today, and many others who may be sick or grieving or lost or whatever reasons that we need to pray. And of course, the scripture says, man ought to always pray and not faint. Pray about everything and don't worry about anything. That's a good principle for you and me today. So let's go ahead and go before the Lord in prayer. And I do have a good word from the Lord today for our meditation. And I'd like to share it with you just after we pray. Let's go ahead. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name this morning, Father. We give you all the glory, all the honor and all the praise. You are the creator of all things, Father. And we just thank you for your majesty and your splendor. You display it in so many things, Lord, in everything. We look around even in the tiniest things and we can see your glory, Lord, in those things. And Father, above all, we see it in our lives that you have blessed us, opened our minds and our understanding and revealed to us the glory of your Son, Jesus the Christ. And so, Father, because of that, and you gave us faith to believe in him, you have adopted those who have put their trust in Christ. Father, we pray for everyone listening and seeing this broadcast anywhere that their hearts would be made open to receive the best news on earth, the gospel, the good news that you love everyone and you are willing to save anyone who trusts in the name of your Son. So, Father, we ask that you bless many minds today, many hearts, with the understanding of the gospel, that good news that you gave your Son in order to redeem them from the curse of the law and forgive them of every sin. So, Father, we just thank you right now, Father, for calling us, even in our wretched conditions, that we might be the proclaimers of that good news to others. And so we want to just thank you for that privilege, Lord. It's such a high and holy privilege that you would call such as us to speak a word to give salvation to others, that anybody, whosoever they are, no matter what color, no matter how old or how young, no matter what breed or nationality or any of that, no matter what they're dealing with and who they are in life, you said if they trust and believe in the name of Jesus Christ, that they shall be saved. And so, Father, we thank you for that proclamation that you so loved the world, you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Bless all those that are sick. A special blessing out for Mother Lemon today that she would be lifted up and restored to good health, oh God. And we ask you to bless our family in the meantime and all the other mothers that are having different issues. Lord, we know arthritis and all kind of stuff be affecting us when we get older. So, Lord, we come against all of that in the name of Jesus. You said that no weapon form would prosper and that we would be able to walk with you, talk with you even through the fire, Lord God. So bless everybody dealing with a financial situation, whatever they're going through, Lord. We just want to just put our trust in you and call on you right now today, Lord. And thank you for just one more day, Lord God, right now in the name of Jesus. Bless those having birthdays today with a happy birthday today, God. And we just give you all the praise and give you all the glory and all the honor, Lord, for you alone are worthy. Bless marriages and homes and families and all of that today, Lord God. We don't mind asking you to do all these things because we know it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And so we ask you, make us ready for that. Bless our minds as we study your word today, Father. Give us a rich understanding that we have never had before. And we ask all this in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, the risen one that you lifted up out of the grave to prove that you even have death solved for the ones who trust in you. And we give you the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah this morning. And thank God. Amen. So we bless God today and thank him for just being in our lives. You know, it's the best thing ever happened to me. I'm going to go ahead and go on record early. Let the cat out the bag here. It's the best thing ever happened to me because I was blind, like the songwriter said at one time. I know I was blind, but now I see. And what you get to see when you enter into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, as He begins to open up your understanding about everything, He opens up His Word so that you can understand His Word. He blesses you with the knowledge of how to deal with relationships and situations. You know, this all didn't just drop in on you at one time. This is the beauty of what we say all the time when we talk about discipleship and how important that is. Discipleship is the very backbone of the gospel. Once you get saved, the gospel is pretty well cut and dry. Whoever believes in the Christ, the Messiah that God has sent, His only Son, His only begotten Son, will not perish. That's a promise from God. And that's the simplicity of the statement in which you and I can embrace salvation. In other words, we can be moved out of the family of the lost into the family of the saved simply by believing the good news that God gave His Son, Jesus, and He did it for me. Personalize that. When you do that and believe that God has raised Him from the dead, now that's the proof that He is the only legitimate one who can make your account right with God. The fact He got out of that grave means He can make your account right with God. Nobody else can. You know who else is all in the grave who called himself a religious or spiritual leader? Every one of them. That's the right answer. Only one got out of the grave and declared, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth," and was seen for 40 days after the resurrection. And so He is the one God is calling all men, women, boys, and girls everywhere, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So that simple message, it sounds simple, but it'll be the most prolific, most profound thing you have ever done. That's what I was started off to say. Best thing you ever did in my life. And I am still benefiting from the knowledge that God is continuing to pour into my mind and into my spirit. Amen. You will continue that throughout your walk with God. He has promised that He will never leave you nor forsake you. So once you get saved, He's going to carry you on through, teach you the deep things in His Word. Now, I'm going to say something here. I love the Word of God, you know, because it continues to open up new and deeper things about God and continues to make corrections to things in my life that need to be fixed. And this is what will happen. And the great news is God didn't say, well, you know, when you get all that stuff straight down, you get all that mess out your life, then come in. No, come right now. Come in right now. I've already paid the bill for all that sin. And we'll deal with it as we go through. So that's what I like, and that's why we call it a walk. It's a walk with God. We're going to walk with Him. He didn't say run to the finish line, but you should pour into it with all your spirit. But God will make it possible for you to understand spiritual things, and then He will provide for you through His Holy Spirit, who will indwell you when you believe the gospel. He will give you the understanding that you don't have, and the reason why you picked this up before and you never really got what you needed was because you didn't believe. So faith, the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. God will reveal to you the things of His Word by faith. And then as your faith grows, you'll understand deeper and deeper things about God. That's a promise from God, and I'm a living witness. So that's why you hear me so hyped up about it, because I'm just amazed that God would take a wretch that was on the wrong path, turn him around, bless him, forgive him, give him peace in his heart, remove guilt from his life, and show him the way to start to walk right in a way that's well-pleasing to God. That's what He did. That's my personal testimony. And I know if He did it for me, He'll do it for you. Some of y'all out there are saying hallelujah right now, praise God, because He did it for me too. And I understand that. And so you will see why we're so excited once you accept Christ. So go ahead and do it right now. There's no reason to wait another second. And this is a spiritual transaction between you and God. Now, as you do that, God will begin to open up your mind, show you some things that you never saw before, things that have been in your life all the time. He'll explain why things got the way they did and how to fix it and how to get it right. He'll teach you how to reach out to others in your life and share the good news with them also. And you don't have to be a preacher or anything. That's not necessary. But it is necessary that we be a witness, and we'll learn that as we continue to walk with Him by faith. And so I want you to hear something today. I was meditating this week on a subject, and it just blessed my soul. And I said, I must share this with the saints on Sunday morning. Amen. So I thank God that He brought us here together. I want to talk today for the next few minutes, as you may see posted on Facebook, the expressions of the blood of Jesus. That's our topic for today, the expressions of the blood of Jesus. Now, what does the blood of Jesus express? Just the very thought of it. You know, when I was lost, let me go ahead and tell you this little story here. When I was lost, I didn't really have that closeness with God. I didn't feel like I was connected to God. I didn't feel like he loved me or any of that. I wasn't thinking about it. It didn't even cross my mind because, you know why? Because I was lost. And when you stop being lost and start to be saved, then the things that are in the Word of God begin to open up to you and unravel, and you start to get some knowledge of how that works. How is this? How does that work? But I didn't have that knowledge. And I remember one day I was working. I used to sell Hammond organs. I was a Hammond organ dealer in St. Louis back many years ago and when I was a lot younger. And a guy came in. He was a lot of my customers were saved. They came from churches. And I sold all kinds of organs, pianos, and other musical instruments and sound reinforcement equipment to a lot of people who were doing church ministry, as well as folks who were out in the world in the bars and the taverns and the clubs and all of that. So I was kind of in that section where everybody uses that equipment. A guy came in and he was playing on the organ. I said, "Man, you really play that thing well." And he said, "Oh yeah, thank God for the blood of Jesus." I said, "The blood of Jesus?" And it struck me like, I said, well, what's up with that? You know, I remember asking the question, "What's up with that? The blood of Jesus? Why would you say that?" You know, and I'm thinking in my head, I had no idea about the intensity of what it means to understand the blood of Jesus. And I heard him say that, and I said, "Well, what's up with that, the blood of Jesus?" I remember asking him, lost as I could be. Now, I had been in the church, but I really didn't have an understanding of what that expression meant. What is that expression, the blood of Jesus? Boy, that sounded strange to me. You know, why would there be blood of Jesus? Why would we be talking about it? Part of the reason is because we use that term so much in the culture, talking about what blood is. Like, we'll say, "Oh, he killed them in cold blood." And it's an awful thing when we hear that. Or either that, or somebody will say, "Oh, that makes my blood boil." And they have reasons why they say it. We use expressions about blood to talk about a whole lot of different kinds of stuff in the culture. But to say the blood of Jesus, you wonder, well, what did Jesus do? Why would he say that? We got bad blood between us, we say sometimes. You know, that means I can't get along with you. Or we'll be out for blood. That means, oh, you did something to me, and you're going to get it. Some of that Dirty Harry kind of stuff, like Clint Eastwood will go ahead, make my day, you know, stuff like that. So to hear him say the blood of Jesus, like, what do you mean by that? And he didn't really break it down, and so I didn't really get an understanding of it. He said, "Oh, you should hear," and he mentioned Twinkie Clark, and when she plead the blood of Jesus, all kind of stuff he had. And I said, "Oh, really?" And so, you know, I didn't really get it. It went over my head like this, you know, there it was. And I don't get that. I don't understand. What does he mean? And I didn't think about it much more after that. I thought about it after the fact when I understood how precious the blood of Jesus is. And I'm going to try to explain it to you today and help you understand. And you probably know. Some of y'all probably go, "Oh, I know about the blood of Jesus. Oh, that's a holy and powerful thing." But what exactly are the expressions of the blood of Jesus that are talked about in God's Word? Well, I want you to see some things here. As human beings have various ways of getting our points across to others, that's what we do, especially when we are passionate about a particular subject we want to convey to others. In other words, if we have a good reason, we get like really exuberant with it, if you will. Then we use many vehicles of speech, and such as idioms, hyperbole, paradox, metaphor, parables, things of that sort. Even Jesus taught with parables, as you know. So these literary devices add expression and weight to what point we are trying to make. And so sometimes we use those type of expressions to amplify the thing we're talking about. And this is important because we always want to get our point across. So we'll put some extra weight to it in the way we explain it or say it to people. So that's what I hope to do today, not so much through metaphor or any of that, but just to help you understand and digest the concept of these expressions of the blood of Jesus and why it is so critical to your life and mine. Very important things. So these type of devices are used by people so that the hearers understand what we mean more clearly. We try to make a more clear presentation of exactly what we're talking about to amplify and express deep concerns or emotions on the topic, or to, as it were, drive home the expression we desire the hearers to know. So we do a lot to help people get the point. You know, we'll use an example of something else. So what I want to do for you this morning in this worship time, and this is time to worship Him. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. We need to thank Him all the time. So I want to help you understand what this means, this expression of the blood of Jesus. With this in mind, let's have a look into the Word of God and meditate on what God is expressing to us in the Bible and examine what the expressions of the blood of Jesus are. There are several things that we can take away when we understand what the blood of Jesus is about. So I'm going to give you a passage here first to get us started in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. It says this, "For the life of all the flesh, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement." So back in the Old Testament, there used to be the usage of slaying animals and things in the temple and either on an altar that was built for God, like Abraham did a number of times in Genesis. And it was that shedding of blood that would make atonement. Now, atonement means to set you at right or set you right with God. So why would the shedding of blood set you right with God? Let's talk about that, and that's kind of a whole lot of what some of the Old Testament rituals that were done is about, and those rituals are about the shedding of blood. Let me give you just a quick thing here as we examine this passage from Leviticus. We see here that in the very beginning, when Adam sinned, the first mention that we have is Genesis 3:15, that he said upon to the serpent, God is cursing the devil, who is in a serpent, for defiling the mindset of Eve. And he says, upon your belly shalt you go, and dust shalt you eat all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise you on the head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Talking about the cross. He began to talk to the devil about the cross, and it was kind of cloaked in that through Genesis 3:15. Theologians call that today the proto-evangelion, which is a fancy term that means it's the first mention of the gospel. Okay, man didn't need the gospel when he was not in sin. Once sin entered into the world, we need a savior. And so the first one to hear that message was actually the devil through the serpent. And so he told him, because you have done this. See what happened, Adam, God came to him first and said, Adam, well, why'd you do that? In so many words, I'm going to paraphrase it. And he said, oh, that woman you gave me made me do it. And so he went to Eve and he talked to her. And she said, oh, the serpent made me do it. They passed the buck. So when God got to the serpent, he said, well, because you have done this. Because it was the devil who infected the human family with the problem of sin. He says, dust shalt you eat all the days of your life, and I'll put enmity between you and the woman. Since you said, she said it was your fault, and I'll put enmity. I mean, I'll make you the enemy of the woman. And between thy seed, that sin you sowed into the world, and her seed, which speaks of Jesus, God's son, who would eventually be born due to the anatomy of a woman without the sin of Satan. You see that? Without the sin of Adam. And so God, well, that was deep, and we'll talk about that on another lesson. But I want you to see that in Genesis 3:21, God's solution for the problem, because what he had told Adam and Eve initially is that the day you sin, you will surely die, the day you transgress my word. And so when that happened, there was not immediate death to their soul or their physical body, but they had spiritual death. They died spiritually because of their disobedience and failure to believe God. So this is why believing God is important. They believed the devil who lied and said, ah, that's not going to happen to you. And God told them it will happen to you. So there was a conflict of ideas. They elected to believe the devil, failure to believe God, crashed them both into sin and death. And death and sin have been in the world ever since. And so what happened now? Genesis 3:21, God takes up the role of a priest. And in the way, and the reason I say that is because it says that Adam and Eve, they covered themselves with fig leaves. They tried to cover themselves. But God said no. And he slew an animal and said he covered them with skins, coats of skin. He had to show them that the wages for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So he had said, your works cannot cover you. You cannot be covered. I have to cover you with my grace. And it requires the shedding of blood. That's why it says he covered them with coats of skins. Genesis 3:21. You can read that when you get a minute. Make a note right now. And let me keep your attention for the next few minutes because we're talking about the expression of the blood of Jesus. Now, I want you to see that that was a type. In other words, God did this to cover them, and it was a substitute who died, not the victims who had actually committed the sin against God. So God was showing them, I will cover you for your sin. Even though you sin, you still have my love. I have not changed. I'm still Almighty God. I still love you, and I do not change. That's the important hinge upon which the gospel hangs. God loves you, and he always loved you. He is love, it says in 1 John 4:8-18, and he never changes. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord your God, I do not change. And so the fact is, the only way anyone has ever been saved is by God's love and his mercy. And he showed first to our first parents, Adam and Eve, that it would take the shedding of blood for the remission of their sin. They cannot cover themselves. That's very apparent reading the early part of Genesis. And you don't understand this. If you're not saved, that goes over your head. So one of the first expression would be that blood that was shed by God when he covered Adam and Eve for their sin, approving a substitute. And substitutionary death was allowed and practiced throughout that time, all the way from then on through the time that God called the Jews. And this passage in our text here from Leviticus 17, it kind of gives us some understanding of that. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it up on the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood by reason of life that makes atonement. In other words, the loss of blood will produce death, and that death can be shown as a substitute for the sinner if he applies it in faith, knowing that God loves me and he allows the shedding of blood. So he did that for a long time, all the way through the history of Israel, and there was a lot of to do about what's up with bloodshed and all that. Still a lot to do today. We wonder today about a lot of things dealing with the blood. But let's understand one of the expressions of the blood of Jesus is that God shed it because he loves you, and he allowed Jesus to shed his blood so that whosoever believes in him would not perish. Now, the sacrifice of Jesus brought to an end all the sacrifices that were prescribed in the old covenant. Every one of them was only an animal of the blood of bulls and goats. Hebrews 10:4 says it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. You see, it was only a covering for an amount of time. And the fact is, God wanted to bring an end to that whole system. And so the first expression I would say to you of the blood of Jesus is that he died for your sins. He shed his blood in order to satisfy God entirely once and for all, not with rituals and repeated sacrifices over and over, but a once and for all event in the center of humanity, in the center of time. That's where Jesus is located right now. His life divides human history. Time before Christ is B.C. Time since he's been born to the present, A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Now, many people believe, and perhaps some of you do, that A.D. means after death. I hear people say that all the time, although that is not true. That's a misnomer. It's Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. In other words, the year that Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord of all things, became flesh. And that's that first year when he was born. And so we are now in 2020 A.D., the year of our Lord, 2020 years after his first appearance. And when he came, why did he come? He came to shed his blood on Calvary's cross so that whosoever believes in him will not perish. In other words, you won't be on God's bad side. You'll be on God's good side. You won't be an earthbound sinner on your way to hell, but you'll be a citizen of heaven, as we've talked about in previous lessons. When you receive the best news ever, which is the gospel, the good news that God loves you just like you are, he gave his son to die for you, and if you trust him and believe that he raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. This is wonderful, because now you are on the same page with God. I believe you. Lord, I trust you. I see what you did for me in the Spirit, and the Spirit has shown me that the shedding of the blood of Jesus was for my sin and to make my account straight with you for all of time. That's what the first expression of the blood of Jesus is for. Now, let's think about this. If all those sacrifices throughout all the years, the Jews were required to have a temple, and they were required to bring various sacrifices 3 times a year. They came to the temple. And the priest himself, who was not perfect, who also had sin that he needed atoned for, also had to make a sacrifice for himself and then take a sacrifice into the holiest place, and which was the Holy of Holies, it was called in the Old Testament, and bring that sacrifice and pour that blood on the altar, which was the seat or the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. And only the high priest could go in there once a year, and they call it Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the day that the one priest could come in, the high priest, after he cleansed himself, made sacrifice for himself, then he would go in and make sacrifice for the sin of the people. And so that was going on because God was giving man time, and he knew there was a set time on his schedule when he would send his son into the world. And he always knew this, even before he created the world. And that's the great news. So these things I'm saying to you are really deep things, but God wants you and I to understand it. That's why he said, make disciples, preach the gospel, get them saved. Once they're saved, I'll give them my spirit. And once they have my spirit, they will understand my word. See, and so these are the things that are in the word. And so one of the expressions of the blood of Jesus has the impact of clearing us who believe of all sin. It has the impact of giving us the Holy Spirit and giving us an understanding of the Word of God so that we can become disciples or learners. We're called to learn the things of God. So God wants you to learn. He wants you to be a student. And he's been doing online teaching, if you will, for lack of a better term. That's a term we understand all the time. I give you my spirit, you open my word, and I help you understand it and bring you closer to me and give you a greater understanding. And I do this by one of the first expression of the blood of Jesus. When you accept him, I accept you. And I erase and blot out all your sin. Blot it out forever. Cast it, like it says in Micah 7:19, into the sea, never to be remembered anymore. God says, boom, I'm taking that away. And he takes away your sin, and he doesn't hold it to your account. So this is what we need in order to be right with God and to know it. In order for us to know it, we have to understand this expression of the blood of Jesus. Now, when we think about it still, you go, well, okay, why did Jesus have to bleed and die? And that's a great question, and we'll talk about that as we go on. So moving on, in 1 Corinthians 11, this is where Paul is rebuking the church at Corinth about some of their behavior. They got into some fleshly behavior, and he wanted them to know that the blood of Jesus has been shed for you. And when you celebrate communion, as we call it, some people call it the Eucharist, it's called different things in the world, but it's a celebration of the blood of Jesus that he shed. And he never wants us to forget about the blood that he shed. That's why it says, this do as oft as you do this in remembrance of me. See, he wants us to remember him all the time. He said, for as oft as you do this in remembrance of me, this do. And that's to take the cup and the bread, which represent the blood that Jesus shed for the remission of all the sins of everyone who believe in him and trust in him. See, when we believe and trust in him, we take that cup and we take that bread that represents his body, which was broken for us, and the blood that he shed for the remission of our sin, and it just keeps us in remembrance. So this is an expression that goes on in time in the New Testament church, which is similar to the sacrifices that were made by the Jews because they were going back so much every time, every year, making various sacrifices in accordance with the law. And the church has been given this as a basically an ordinance for all of the history of the church to take the cup and the bread to remember what Jesus did when he shed his blood on the cross. And so that helps you understand even that. So that's one of the expressions of the blood of Jesus, is to keep in memory the fact that God so loved you, he gave his only begotten son. When it says he gave him, that means he shed his blood and he gave his life. And all of that he did for you and for me, all who believe. And you know what? The proclamation of that is what the church's business is to the world. Our real business is to get you saved. You know, when you get saved and you understand the gospel that God loves you, he's given his son for you, then his spirit will begin to teach you. And there's so much more for you to learn. That's why you need to become a disciple. And you will if you trust and believe the good news about Christ. So we remember that. We commemorate that blood of Jesus. Paul writing to Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11:23 puts it this way. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, and this do in remembrance of me. That's 1 Corinthians 11:24. After the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. See, do it as oft as you drink it in remembrance of him. Keep him in mind. Keep him in memory. And his knowledge and the memory of that fact that God loved you that much will be a catalyst in your life to draw you away from the sin that binds you and keeps you separated from God. Sin always separates us from God. But when you're saved, God accepts you, puts the debt of your sin on Christ, who shed his blood and satisfied God once and for all 100% for everyone who believes him. There, that way he gets the glory and not us. And so we remember that goodness. And in the memory of that, we confess our sin. And the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this is a lifestyle. It's not a once in a lifetime event. Salvation is, but discipleship goes on and on all the way until we leave the world or until God comes back to collect us, which is on his schedule. That's the next event on his schedule, the rapture of the church. And so we need to understand this expression of the blood of Jesus is a cleansing expression. He's given it for his children to be cleansed and to remember them. In the remembrance of him, when you see that he loves you that much, that he would be willing to stretch forth his arms and be spit on, mocked and ridiculed, bleeding profusely from the head, from the feet, from the hands, from the wounds in his back and chest and face and all of that, he was willing to take that kind of abuse for you and me in order that we could go free, knowing that our sin bill is paid entirely. See, that's what he did for you. And you, if you latch on to that and then keep it in memory, that's what the idea of the communion is, continuing to remember that he has done this for me. A wretch like me, Almighty Holy God the Son, the only begotten Son, did that for me, and he hung there between heaven and earth to satisfy his Father so that his Father does not have to pour out his judgment on wretches like us. See, that's what's happening there when we see this expression of the blood of Jesus. We understand he shed it in order to satisfy the fierce anger and wrath that God has against sinners. And that day will come, and there will come a day when it'll be too late. You know, the day for each of us when it's too late is when you pass away, okay, you can't accept Jesus now. You need to accept him right now while your blood is running warm in your veins. You need to accept him to be your Savior, and then you don't have that problem when that day comes. And none of us know when that will be. So Paul going on, speaking to the Corinthians, he says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, see, in other words, if we don't have a right attitude about the blood of Jesus and the expression of the fact that he shed his blood to pay for my sin, and we overlook that and we don't give that the credit it deserves, because God has given it full credit, 100%, that whoever trusts him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And so it's a cleansing process that the blood being applied to my consciousness, knowing that God gave his son to save unholy wretches like me, to wash me from my sin, and I'm going to remember that every time that I come before the Lord and also offer up confessions for my sin. In other words, I'm acknowledging that I sin and I need to be covered by the blood of Jesus. And so every time we take communion, that expression of Jesus' blood is a cleansing exception. In other words, he died, shed that blood in order to cleanse us gradually and thoroughly as we continue to grow in our understanding of his word. So the word, like we have mentioned in previous broadcasts, is a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path. It's showing us how to do stuff right. It's teaching us what is right. It's teaching us that love is the supreme thing and that we need to love one another even as he has loved us. And that we need to learn how to forgive others as he has forgiven us. And all of these things come with that whole cleansing feature of Jesus' blood as we remember that he shed that blood as we take the communion. So he says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. In other words, examine yourself rightly. Have a right understanding of where you stand with respect to what God has done given his son and what Jesus has done, I'm taking this willfully, Father, to satisfy you for them. He's the middleman between God the Father and wretches like us. And I'm here paying their bill entirely. I'm shedding human blood, not the blood of bulls and goats, but sinless, spotless, perfect blood, the blood of Christ, which is the only thing that's able to wash away the stain of my sin. See, we got to get a right understanding of this expression of the blood of Jesus. He did it to take away rituals and ceremonies like were in the Old Testament that were only a shadow of what he would complete entirely as he hung on the cross, and even on the way to the cross, it was a bloody mess. They beat him just read the story anytime you like. He was flogged and beaten over and over. And if he had been a regular dude like any of us or a lady or whatever, he would have been croaked long before he ever made it to the cross. So this is one of the strongest evidences that he is God. The fact that he could take all that abuse upon himself and be able to continue to supply blood even for the blood bath. Do you know the average person would bleed to death? If I slash my wrist, I'll be dead in just a matter of a couple of minutes. Not to mention if somebody flogged and beat me all night long and bludgeoned me with all kinds of different stuff and pressed the crown of thorns in my head and slapped me and did all the things they did to Jesus all night long, and then he hung on the cross early in the morning between the sixth and the ninth hour. And all of that he did for you, supplying blood. His body was amazing because it had not sin, and he was producing all the blood he needed to do. He began to sweat blood, it says, in Gethsemane, even before all that happened. He started to sweat, it says, as it were, great drops of blood. And he was doing that for me and you so that we could have a way to the tree of life, which was being protected all the way from that sin we mentioned of Adam and Eve when God drove them out of the garden and set cherubim with a flaming sword all around to guard the way to the tree of life, because he does not want to condemn wretched sinners. See, he was protecting the tree of life so that sinners would not grab hold of it and be in sin forever. And so he did that for you, and the scripture tells us in heaven, in the book of Revelation, the tree of life will be there, and you and I will be able to eat freely from the tree of life. Hallelujah to his name. All of this by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to invite you right now. I'll take a minute before we look at the turn the corner here and look at another expression of the blood of Jesus. I want to invite you to make that a part of your life. Make the blood of Jesus, which he shed for the remission of all of your sin, a part of your conscious life. That's what I couldn't get from the guy who I told you. He mentioned the blood of Jesus. I asked him, what's up with that? Sounded strange. Got my attention. But he didn't explain it, and I didn't get it. So I knew I couldn't understand it, and maybe he said more than I remember, quite honestly. But I didn't get it, and I'm going, okay, the blood of Jesus. So now as I look back at that incident, I understand he was feeding, sowing a seed. He sowed a seed, and I still remember it today that we had that conversation. So I hope you don't forget this that I'm telling you today. God loves you just like you are. He has given Jesus for you. Jesus has shed his blood for your sin. And if you believe him, you have no more sin to worry about, but just trust him and continue in confession, walking by faith, not by sight. Trust what God has promised, and he will continue to develop you as a disciple. And this is what everyone in the church is doing who really understands this. There are some folks playing church that don't quite get what we're talking about, and I hope this will wake them up too, because we want you to understand the gospel is for every man, woman, boy, and girl. God loves you all equally. He doesn't love this person or this group or that color or that nation more than any others. The only nation he ever set apart was Israel, and they were the ones who crucified Jesus. But he hadn't forgotten them, because he said, I'm going to make my promises to them good anyway, even though they rejected my son when he came. So God is great. He's awesome. Oh, he's off the charts, beloved. Understand that. He's still going to make those promises he promised to Israel good, and they're still there. The reason they're there, a little small nation like they are, and not doing what he has decreed concerning his son, is that God is preserving them. And he's going to help them turn around and get right and trust Christ before it's all over. But you and I have the privilege right now, and so do the Jews. The Jews are not excluded. You know what? The first gospel preaching went to the Jews. They were told to go to Jerusalem first, then to Judea, then to Samaria, then to the uttermost part of the earth. In other words, he covered the whole Jewish nation first. Go to Jerusalem, that's the capital city. Judea, the southern kingdom. Samaria, the northern kingdom. And then to the uttermost part of the earth. And so the gospel had a pattern that it was going to, and it's made it all the way over here, where you and I are, not to mention other places all around the globe. So God wants all men, women, boys, and girls to be saved. That was always his plan. Even when he called Abraham the Gentile, he called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, the Bible says in Genesis 12, so to get out of your country, away from your kindred, out of your father's house, come to a land that I'll show you, I'll bless you, and make your name great. And so the production of the Israel, the nation as we know it, was a promise God made to the Chaldean Gentile Abraham that he has fulfilled in order to produce his son, Jesus the Christ, so that whoever believes in him will not perish. Now that's a condensation of a lot of what the scripture teaches. But we hope that we have sparked your interest in understanding these expressions of the blood of Jesus. First of all, we talked about replacing a ritual system that had been put in place all the way by God from the Garden of Eden on up clear until 2,000 years ago, roughly. And then when Jesus was born, God fully ratified all of those foreshadows from the Old Testament and made his son the focal point of human history so that whoever believes in him will not perish. And he was summarizing all that and fulfilling what could not be fulfilled, so it didn't have to be perpetual in that way, sacrificing animals and all that. Hebrews 10, verse 4, I think it says, the blood of bulls and goats never satisfied God. You know why? The bulls and goats didn't sin against God. Man sinned against God. So it took a man. By one man, we were all made sinners as Adam, and by one man, we can all be made righteous. That is Jesus, who shed his own blood. As a man, he shed his blood for you, and after he had done all that, that still didn't kill him. He was hanging there between heaven and earth, fulfilling all the promises that God had made in his word pertaining to his first advent. So that's what he was doing. That's why he hung around so long, because I still have stuff that the word says that has to go down before I can be done with my mission. And when he got through, he said, "It is finished." See? He cried out with a loud voice. The man had been bleeding all night long. He'd been bleeding all night long, way up in the morning, hanging up there between two thieves. And he's still on the job, doing exactly what God promised that he would do, fulfilling his word so that God's word can be true. So this is how much he did in order to show you how much I love you. See, so we need to love back on him. He'll teach you how to do that better the moment that you accept the gospel. So let's look on here. What I want you to see is the seriousness of the blood to everything living is indicates that there can be no more important topic because of the outcome of this expression is a matter of life or death. You know what? The blood is important. With our bloodstreams open, boy, we have a short list. We're not going to make it long. That's why it's important. And we can see that it's a critical thing, the shedding of blood. And so I just want to mention that first. Secondly, the shedding of the blood of Jesus reveals the darkest and ugliest assault of mankind against the person and the authority of Almighty God. And it's the greatest travesty of human government and fallen people have ever committed in the history of the world. You know why? Because Jesus hadn't broken any law. He had not done any sin. He wronged no one. He came for that purpose, knowing that your minds will be so twisted in politics and all that stuff y'all are concerned about. It's twisted in rituals and all those kind of things, twisted and bent into all kinds of stuff that you won't even know who I am. You won't even understand that I'm God the Son and that I have come at the appointed time exactly as I have fully described in my word. Came right on schedule, but you all will be so blind spiritually, you won't even see it. Politics have never saved anybody then, it's not saving nobody today. So I want to tell you, put your faith in Christ, take your faith out of politics, do what you need to do in that area. But politics is not going to fix the world. The only one who can is the Lord Jesus Christ. No politics, both political systems in America, I'm going to speak for this country, you're seeing me somewhere else, this is not a point of view, but both of our systems are twisted beyond repair, and God never intended for politics to fix anything. He gave his son to fix you and me, see? So we need to get our focus on the right thing. Politics is not going to deliver anybody from sin. It's not going to save anybody from the grave. is not going to satisfy the wrath of God on your behalf. You're on your behalf. See? So the only one who can is Jesus. That's the focus of our ministry, is to let you know that only Christ can save you. I hope the politicians hear this, and y'all need to get saved too, if you're not. And if you are, then you need to act like it and understand that you're going to give a report to Almighty God one day. And His Son is the one who is exalted in the heavens and the earth. Amen. He is now and He will be forever. And He always has been. He just allows you guys to do what you do. So you need to do it with Him in your mind. Amen. Next thing, I'm off my political soapbox. But the blood of Jesus reveals the ultimate magnitude of God's love for man, His love for evil sinners like me. We're going to make it to people. And could only be purged by the innocent blood of the only perfect sinless man. See? Jesus the Christ, as revealed in so many Bible passages, that's what you got to see. God required a perfect sinless man, and there's only been one. There only ever will be one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who was born in the world, went through the whole system of life to the age of 33 and a half, and was crucified and died on the tree, shed His blood, and that expression is sacrifice and atonement to cover us once and for all sin. And not just the ones who believe here, He did it for all of them. So the ones who don't believe, you need to get on board. You better trust Christ while you got time, because you don't know when you'll breathe your last breath. Stuff going on, thousands of people dropping dead day by day. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ right now. It'll be the best thing you ever did, and you will never be sorry, I guarantee you. So that is one other expression of the blood of Jesus. Now, my time's getting away, but I want to quickly explain this last one, and I saved it for last because I think it's something that needs to be understood. The blood of Jesus toward those who continue to reject the most loud expression of God's willingness to forgive evil sinners, which is what the gospel is. God is saying, I'm ready to give you forgiveness. I've given my Son. He's already died for you. He was perfect. And if you trust Him, I will accept you. He will be a substitute who will cover your evil sin for all of time, that I will never see your sin or judge you for your sin if you believe Him. And I've been preaching it for thousands of years. And will you believe it or will you reject it? You see, either you're going to reject it or you're going to believe it. One of the two. God is praying, and along with His church, that you will believe it. But if you don't believe it, that's your choice. You can reject it. You can turn away if you like. But the consequences are tremendous. And I know you're going to be sorry. That's what I want to say to you right now. You shall be sorry because the blood of Jesus toward those who continue to reject this most loud expression of God's willingness to forgive evil sinners shall evoke the greatest eternal blast of wrath known as hellfire and brimstone, which shall speak for generations an expression of eternal wrath as well as deserved endless fury from Almighty God. That's what you get if you don't trust in the blood of Jesus. And so God wants us to persuade you. That's why Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. But if you reject it, what do you have? What do you have if you reject Christ? I speak to Israel. What do you have if you reject the true Messiah and God has already sent Him? I speak to all the nations of the world. What do you have if you reject the only answer God has provided? And I speak to America especially. We are pretty arrogant here in our country in many ways. What do you have? You know, what would you be profited if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? I speak to the politicians everywhere in every party. What do you have? If you don't have the blood of Jesus and this expression of God's love towards you and you turn a deaf ear to it or you reject it, what do you have? What will you be profited if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? You know, you want right now, the world might seem, oh, this is really all that. And it is. It's a wonderful place. God wants you to enjoy it. He wants you to have all kinds of things and all that. But He doesn't want to be cut out of your life. He does not want you to reject Christ. You would be just like the people who spit on Him, mocked Him, ridiculed Him, flogged Him, beat Him, stripped Him naked, and gamble for his clothes. What do you think that expression of the blood of Jesus is going to be for you if you reject the Most High God? I tell you what, that'll be the most tragic thing you have ever done. So I beseech you right now, by the mercies of God, that you trust and believe Jesus. He is the only way of salvation. God loves you. He gave him for you. Why would you reject him? You do, you will experience the final and most cataclysmic application of the expression of the blood of Jesus. It will testify against you in all eternity, and that is not good. So we pray today that all of you will believe the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. God loves you. We love you. We are here as a teaching organism on earth to help you understand deep things about the Word. If there's anything that you've heard in this broadcast or anywhere that you would like clarified with biblical proof, give us a letter, drop us a text, a call, an email, whatever you want, and we're there for you. We want to help you understand the deep things of God's Word. So I hope that you will get in on the mercy and the grace of God, which He hopes that you will as well. And because that's why He did it, that's the only reason why He's delaying time right now, is to give men, women, boys, and girls an opportunity to repent and turn and believe the gospel and be saved. Amen. That's His good pleasure. He wants to save you. It says there, for the joy that was set before Him, Hebrews 12, He endured the cross. See, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. See that? He doesn't want to disgrace and humiliate people. You know what? We deserve it. But He despised the shame, not even the shame that He experienced being done the way He was done, and He had made everything. The Scripture says He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, but the world knew Him not. And so they crucified Him, hung Him on a tree. But He endured that shame and that disgrace in order that He might bring many sons and daughters to glory. He wants you to be saved that much. So that expression of the blood of Jesus is for you, beloved. We hope you accept it. We hope that all of you who have heard this message will share it with as many as you can. That's our objective, is to share the good news. Spread it out while there's time. And I'm praying even for you who say, oh, that preacher don't know what he's talking about. Okay, I don't. You know, but I do know what God has taught me. And I do know that these expressions of the blood of Jesus are for you. And I hope you will consider what I am saying. Amen. So we've done as God commands. We hope that you have been blessed with the word. Continue to pray for me. Pray for everyone. Pray for those who are having a struggle dealing with understanding the things that you and I embrace concerning the gospel of Jesus the Christ. Amen. And I hope that you will share this message every way you can on your Facebook, on email. Send it out so that people can get it, because this is what the world needs right now. Somebody wrote a song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Yes, they do. They need the greatest love of all. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Amen. So we hope that you are saved today. We hope that you will be. And when you do trust Christ, He's going to fill you with the Spirit. He will lead you and guide you to all truth, and you will be able to see things you have never understood before. So we're going to go ahead and let you go ahead and do whatever else you need to do today, but please share the message with others. God bless you. We love you. Amen.